The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel Lindsay from the Buffalo News. I cover the Buffalo Sabres. Latest edition of Ice Time podcast here with Mike Harrington, our news hockey columnist, who's in Ottawa right now getting ready for some Sabres history, as we all have been over the last few weeks. So how are things in Ottawa, Mike?
You know, it's interesting that you're in Ottawa, and, you know, we'll find out eventually what happens in this game. But obviously a place, major moments in Sabres history took place in 2006, in 2007. And the Sabres now are moving forward with a bunch of games that are still going to be meaningful no matter when this playoff clinch happens. And you know, right now, it's amazing to think that this is a 100-point team. They got to 100 points the other night against the New York Islanders. And now, who knows where it's going to end up here by April the 15th. But it's amazing to see what's happened between December and April.
Can we put the cart before the horse here? Let's talk a little bit about the potential playoff opponents the Sabres could face. You know, we're doing a lot of, you know, looking in the crystal ball here, but, you know, my perspective, all signs point to Boston right now. I'm not a great fan of a possible Boston Sabres matchup, but for you, I mean, what are you looking at as far as possible playoff opponents could be?
It's funny to me how you can talk yourself in circles here. Every opponent, oh, that's a bad matchup for the Sabres. Several opponents, oh, that's a great matchup for the Sabres. But you're right. The last game against Boston in KeyBank Center definitely, you know, raised a few antennas. The way the Bruins played, the Sabres didn't really get a lot, didn't find a lot of ice. And you're talking a team with a David Pastrnak, with a Charlie McAvoy on defense, with the potential of Jeremy Swayman in goal. We didn't see him that night. The Boston Bruins are a scary team for the Sabres. Now, I look at it that the two other matchups that bother me, I don't know why. It shouldn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The Sabres play poorly against the Columbus Blue Jackets, no matter where they are. And that damn cannon, I just can't stand the thought of hearing that during a playoff series. So I would say, let's forget about the Blue Jackets, even though the Jarmo Kekalainen angle would be interesting. And the other one that'll be very interesting to see, and I don't know if I like the matchup or not, other people do for Buffalo, others don't, is the Montreal Canadiens. They tend to be a one-line team. But boy, the Sabres can't stop Nick Suzuki or Cole Caulfield for anything. The goaltending people question. The young goalies have played very well, Fowler and Dobish, against the Sabres this year. And you've got to go to the Bell Center where the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable. So for me, those are the two that really strike me as bothersome. There are others out there. You could play Philadelphia. You could play Ottawa. You could play the Islanders. Columbus, Montreal, Boston, those are the three that I have big sirens going at the top of my head.
The Islanders also are kind of a little bit of this, the sirens going off in my head as well, too. Just, we saw how the game just turned the other night. The first period, I'm watching the Islanders. They just come off that 8-3 loss to Pittsburgh. I mean, embarrassed by the Penguins out on the island. And the first period, first 20 minutes, I think I said to you, should I just give the Islanders that participation trophy for showing up? They just saw there was no pop. There was no spunk. There was no, we're angry. We want to get here somewhere. And that whole game, I mean, it turned into Anders Lee picking on everybody on that team, literally taking his shots at people on that team. And, you know, we'll get to Sam Carrick in a second, really standing up for his team and taking on Anders Lee after that fight against Josh Norris. But the Islanders are kind of enigmatic. You don't know what you're going to get with that team each night as well. They lost 5-0 down on the island to the Sabres. They get competitive in the second and third periods until it took, you know, even went down to the last second when Braden Schenn scored that late goal when it was 4-2, rendering Bo Byram's goal the game winner the other night. But just, you don't know what Islanders team is going to show up as well. And my other concern for the Sabres as well when they go into the playoffs is just that lack of experience in the playoffs. Yes, there are guys on the team who have been in the playoffs, you know, guys like Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, you know, Luke Schenn, Bowen Byram, who have played in the Stanley Cup Finals, who know what it takes to go the distance. But a lot of the Sabres are inexperienced. They're going to be learning on the fly as a team. They're going to take their lumps on the fly in the team as well. And even during the last 8-game winning streak, I was thinking, I thought, when's this team going to run out of gas as well, too? Because it's hard to sustain it over 82 games. It's hard to be consistent, you know, and the playoffs are a totally different animal. So I think this is also going to be a question of what kind of stamina are we going to see? And what kind of learning curve are we going to see out of the Sabres in the playoffs?
Well, you're right. I mean, but I think it's been answered. Physicality and the way that they have increased the strength and conditioning program has helped them. But you're right. The mental strain of the playoffs is something we don't know how these guys are going to respond. I don't worry so much about the physical end of things in the playoffs as much as people say. You worry about injuries, but there's often a lot of days off in these series. But the mental strain of the up and down of a playoff series, you're going to have to see how some of these top players respond to it. Other teams may have had guys with a little more experience. So the guys you're going to rely on, Tuck, Byram, you know, even some of the guys who aren't playing, Tanner Pearson won a Stanley Cup with the LA Kings. He can have some value in that room too. Luke Shen won back-to-back cups with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get through this first round, when they're going to be a favorite. Let's be honest. And Buffalo Sabres are a favorite no matter who they play in round one. And that's a tough position to be in when you've really never been in the playoffs. And some of these guys, it's the first time in their career.
And also, you're facing the same team a maximum of 7 straight games. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it. There could be a lot of changing. There could be a little bit of monotony in that as well. You know, not in that it's going to be boring, but it's like you're going to figure out tendencies, and smart coaches are going to pivot as well. Smart players are going to pivot and adjust with the adjustments as well. That's another part of that learning curve that's going to come with the playoffs for the Sabres.
But
You're not going to see Seattle one night. You're not going to see New York Islanders the next. You're not going to hop on a plane. You're going to see the same team maximum 7 games over the course of what, 2 weeks. You got to strategize within the strategy.
Anger, right. You just the hatred builds up. That's what you want to see in these series, you know. And sometimes a series doesn't get its personality right away, and sometimes it goes right from the drop of the puck in game one. I think a couple of these opponents, the Sabres have a pretty good hate on right away based on who they end up playing.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation started just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows, value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
So you're up in Ottawa. One of the big things, a lot of, Sabres fans and people have been waiting for is an update on Sam Carrick, who we mentioned earlier, who had injured his left arm at the end of the fight against Anders Lee the other night against the Islanders. Lindy Ruff had said today, Sam Carrick is week to week with that left arm injury. He could be available for the playoffs. How important is Sam Carrick? How important has he been to this team over the last 3 weeks since he was acquired from the Rangers at the deadline?
Well, the one thing is he's another veteran with playoff experience, was in the Stanley Cup final with Edmonton 2 years ago. They did not expect 5 goals in the first 7 games from Sam Carrick, and that's what they've gotten. They've brought up a factor that you had brought up weeks ago in this podcast, how the Sabres were really suffering in the faceoff circle. They went out and traded for a faceoff guy, and Sam Carrick has had impact in that area. And now you've got a guy, you know, a 30-something, another adult in the room, as I like to say, who has really had quick impact, has really assimilated very well into the locker room, and now he gets hurt. And you really feel bad for him. He's helping a teammate. He's protecting a teammate. In the wake of the Anders Lee hit on Josh Norris, he goes out, and 3 seconds into the third period, they drop the gloves, and it's really just a fluke thing. And I was talking to Beck Malenstein in Ottawa about it. You see this all the time in the league now. Somebody's defending a teammate. They throw a few punches. They have their bout, and they move on. They skate off to the box. In this case, it just went badly. He got off balance. Lee dumped him to the ice right on the arm. And now we don't know. I asked Ruff point blank, are we looking at any surgery? Are we looking at anything season ending? And the answer was definitively no. The answer was week to week, we will monitor him. We're not ruling him out of the playoffs at all. So it could be one of these things where if Sam Carrick is out, let's say 4 weeks, you could see him in round 2 or certainly by round 3. So they did not in any way, shape, or form rule him out. And, I was wondering, do you have major shoulder damage and surgery coming? And that would be it for Sam Carrick. But that thankfully is not the case, but it is a big loss going forward until they can get him back.
Right. And the mood in the locker room Tuesday night, you know, when I asked Peyton Krebs about, you know, about Sam Carrick and, you know, kind of taking it for the team, for lack of a better term, Josh Norris as well. You know, Peyton Krebs, the mood in the locker room was somber when the topic shifted to Sam Carrick, you know. And, you know, Peyton Krebs, a quote, you know, he said, I really feel for him after that. He put his heart and soul in this team right away. You know, we wanted to, you know, come back and win this for him. We're going to do this again. It was really a show of emotion from Peyton Krebs, who's kind of a stoic dude, you know, not doesn't get too high, didn't get too low. Josh, you know, Josh Norris was, you know, was a little shaken as well, too. And I think that show of emotion really explained, you know, and showed that Carrick has earned his place in the locker room. He's earned respect in the locker room. It showed his impact on the team in the few weeks that he's been in Buffalo as well. And without him, you know, the Sabres, they lose that face-off guy. They you lose that veteran presence, like you said. And you said that Josh Dunn skated at center on the fourth line in the morning skate Thursday at Ottawa. What's, does Josh Dunn have big shoes to fill, you know, for taking place in Sam Carrick?
He knows that there are big shoes to fill. Now, they played very well. He played very well on that fourth line with Beck Malenstein before. It's going to be with Jordan Greenway now and Beck Malenstein in that line. But you're right. The word you just used is absolutely right. It was somber in that room after a big win because of what happened to Sam Carrick. And I think everyone is looking for veteran help. Jarmo Kekäläinen went out, got veteran help at the deadline. Sam Carrick was a great pickup, really one of the better deadline pickups in the entire league. And now he's out of the lineup. And it's just, you know what? It's just a bummer. That's just the biggest way I could describe it. Everyone in that room is bummed about it because Sam Carrick was going to help this team on a potential Stanley Cup run. And it really felt like he had been on this team multiple years, not 3 weeks.
Right. You know, it's just, we're really, really going to see an impact there. Again, Josh Dunn has to step up as well. You know, it was between, you know, I was looking back at the charting, Josh Dunn, Tyson Kozak, you know, was there even a possibility? I got a question from someone about this, maybe bringing Konsta Hellenius up from Rochester, or is it not worth burning that rookie contract at this point?
Well, I just think at this point, the Amerks are in their own playoff battle. I'm not messing with their roster. I'm not putting Konsta Hellenius in this situation anyway. You have emergency recalls, but they have other guys here. They have Tanner Pearson here. They have Tyson Kozak here. They have Josh Dunn here. There's no reason for another pickup, another call up there. And Hellenius really isn't a guy you'd want on the fourth line anyway. I wouldn't put him there. So I would say put Dunn in, see what happens. If it doesn't go well, you can always go to Kozak, especially in a game with a little more skating than physicality. And that's, I think, how the Sabres are going to play it here going forward.
So we're going to shift gears again. I know there's a big date circled on the calendar. April 6th, the Sabres once again host Tampa Bay. They're in a unique situation where the Sabres haven't faced Tampa Bay until after the new year. This is the fourth and final game of this regular season series. You know, it's the battle for the Atlantic Division in a way. And let's be real, that last game, that 8-7 win for the Sabres was a battle. Fights galore. UPL standing up for Rasmus Dahlin after he was ambushed by Brandon Hagel. It got standing room only in the penalty boxes. 15 combined goals, you know. And I said this before, but the Lightning came in and tried to push the Sabres around in that game. And the Sabres pushed back. I mean, really, the Lightning low-key were threatened by the Sabres, and the Sabres weren't scared of the big dogs on the block. So how much should we anticipate again this rematch between Tampa Bay and the Sabres on Monday?
Well, normally when those kind of games happen, the next game is not the same way. The league is kind of watching to make sure there's no shenanigans and things kind of calm down. Now, with the Lightning, when they've played the Florida Panthers, they have had a repeated pattern of rough and tumble games over and over again. And I think part of what happened here was the Panthers are out of the way now. The Lightning have a clear path in their mind, and the Sabres, you know, stomped him down in Tampa 6-2 at the end of February. And at the end of that game, there were some shenanigans. The Lightning started to try to send a few messages. And you wondered what messages would be sent on March 8th. You didn't think it would happen right from the start of the first period and the drop of the puck. You know, we saw five fighting majors aside in that game, over 100 minutes in penalties. I think it was 70 minutes in the first period. So the Lightning were clearly trying to send messages in that game that, hey, the Panthers are gone. We're the old guys on the block. You're the new kids on the block. We're not letting you guys get away with this stuff. And there's a real rivalry developing here now when they had not met for a year until they met the first week of February. All four of their matchups this year after February 1st. What's going to happen in this game? I think the potential is there for this game to be complete chaos again.
Oh, I think absolutely.
The situation of this game, if someone wins in regulation, may decide the division title. It may create that much of a difference. Both of these teams probably thinking, we don't want to lose this in regulation. Let's just get a point here. The Lightning are going to look to do the same thing. The Sabres are going to be looking, I think, for a little bit of an eye for an eye here with Mr. Hagel. They're still very unhappy about what happened with Hagel and Rasmus Dahlin. Now, I know Hagel's nursing an injury this week, and there is some question on his status. Let's see if he's back by Monday. But I expect the same kind of game. I expect a lot of chaos out there, a lot of skating. I do think both coaches would prefer not to be 8-7. It is probably going to be the most hyped regular season game in the history of KeyBank Center. How much hype can you have for a regular season game normally? This
right,
one
especially
is going to
after
happen.
The carryover from the last game. You know, and I think about that last game. The Sabres asserted themselves in that game. They didn't back down. They showed they were going to go toe to toe, skate to skate, stick to stick with the Lightning. And I really believe that game, not even just the win, that game was a defining moment for the Sabres, and one of many in the season. And to me, it showed they didn't react to the Lightning as much as they did respond. And 1-8-7, Josh Stone had the game-winning goal. And probably one of the most epic and most talked-about NHL games this season after the game. I mean, just as the kids say, my phone was blowing up. People from all over the country were like, whoa, you saw probably the best game of the month. And I said, no. Probably the best game of the season in the NHL right now. I didn't watch the Canucks Avalanche last night, but I saw the Canucks won 8-6. So the other thing, and I think back to that the March 8th game between the Lightning and the Sabres, it was a part of a back-to-back. The Lightning had come down, I believe, from Toronto. And I remember asking John Cooper, the head coach of the Lightning, hey, did you ever think you'd see Buffalo and the Lightning face off for first place in the Atlantic Division? And he kind of laughed. He's like, I'm not going to buy into that narrative. But he's also said, I'm worried about my team getting into the playoffs right now, but the Lightning are going to be in as well. You know, Florida's not. You know, Florida, like you said, out of the way. The injuries caught up with them, and they're having more injuries. But Tampa Bay also has continued its run as one of the gold standard teams in the Eastern Conference. They've been in the playoffs 11 of what, the past 12 years. They've won 2 Stanley Cups. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals, what, 6 times in that stretch? And I mean, John Cooper, he's one of the smartest and probably most charismatic coaches of the NHL. He's built that team, that organization into, again, the gold standard. And we're going also into a matchup of two coaches, Lindy Ruff from the Sabres and John Cooper, who people are saying, well, John Cooper should be a Jack Adams candidate for coach of the year. And I said, no. Lindy Ruff has to be the coach of the year in this one. This is even up for a debate. You coach a team to the playoffs for the first time since 2011. That's incredible. I mean, I'm sorry, John Cooper, not this year. You got to spread some wealth around. And for all the Jack Adams voters, you know, this is my stumping for Lindy Ruff for coach of the year. 15 years between playoff berths, and he coached them in 2011. Lindy's a shoo-in for that trophy.
All right, so here's my first point before I get to my other points. Just a commercial that you and I can send to people. We vote for NHL awards. We do not vote for the coach of the year.
Thank you for clarifying. That's the broadcasters who vote for the coach of the year.
NHL Broadcasters Association vote for coach of the year. So save your cards, letters, emails, tweets. If it doesn't go Lindy Ruff's way, I got nothing to do with it. Rachel's got nothing to do with it.
I'm just stumping for Lindy on account of you coach a team in 2011, do a playoff first. You wait 14 years, how many coaches, how many players, how many ups and downs, how many what ifs, and then you come back and bring them again. Lindy is what, 65, 66 years old?
Right.
He's evolving. Guys are buying in. You know, guys maybe pushing back a little bit out there as well, too. But somehow, you know, he's gotten together again as well. Lindy's evolved. He's gotten a bunch of, he's gone, as I said last time, he's gone from coaching Gen X players to Gen Z players.
And a couple other Tampa notes here. First of all, we did not see Andre Vasilevsky the last game. We saw old friend Jonas Johansson. I'm sure we will see Andre Vasilevsky on Monday. The second thing is, let's not forget here the desperation the Lightning feel going into the playoffs with Florida out thinking the window's open. They have not won a first-round series since 2022 when they lost to Colorado in the Stanley Cup final. They have lost three in a row. So their window is closing a little bit as some of these players age. They certainly look terrific right now, but they feel a lot of pressure going into the playoffs to really have a deep run, especially with the Panthers out. So they're not going to let the Sabres get in their way and establish anything, some incredible run from nowhere. And I think that's why a lot of messages will be sent on Monday.
You say that the window might be closing for them as well. Think about how long Victor Hedman's been in the NHL. I mean, I remember when Andre Vasilevsky, you know, backed up Ben Bishop after Ben Bishop got hurt 10 years ago against the Penguins. There are a lot of guys on that roster as well, too. Nikita Kucherov as well came out of nowhere as well, too, and just rocked the NHL. So, yeah, that's a very good point. You know, it's almost like I don't know that position that the Penguins a couple years were in. The window was closing. It might be. That's a very, very good point as well, too. So, and now that we're approaching playoff hockey for the first time in 15 years in Buffalo, we have to talk about something, Mike. This is you have seen this through in a way, you covered this team the last time they made the playoffs. You have covered the failed tank, the Eichel trade, the so close in 2023, the number of players, how many coaching changes, how many general manager changes. Let's get back in the proverbial DeLorean. Let's go back to 2011 and talk about that year. I'll say I was in Portland, Maine. I was actually covering the Portland Pirates when they were the Sabres minor league team. You were helping cover the last Sabres playoff series, you know, in recent and / modern history of the NHL. So that's my question for you. You know, what do you remember about 2011? What was that like? What was playoff hockey like in Buffalo in 2011? I feel like it's story time here.
Yeah, well, what happened, remember, they had won the division in 2010. And then 2011 was a disaster. It was a terrible season. I remember a road trip where the Sabres lost 5 games in 5 days, and I was on the whole trip. It was like New York and Detroit, Chicago, Winnipeg, St. Louis. It was in January. They were in last place in the division, and you thought it was a lost season. All the rumors were starting about the team being up for sale. Terry Pegula takes over in February, and it's not unlike the shot in the arm the Sabres got from Jarmo Kekalainen getting on the scene. The shot in the arm came from Terry Pegula. They finished that season 16-4-4, and they snuck into the playoffs as a 7 seed to meet the Philadelphia Flyers. And the one thing that's unfortunate is the likelihood that people are not going to see the playoff clincher in Buffalo, because that was a unique scene. It was game 81 against the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Sabres had the puck in their own end and the crowd's on their feet roaring in the last 40 seconds. And the Flyers just backed away. That was it. The Flyers wanted their point too. So Tyler Myers was behind the net and Danny Briere standing out near the blue line and famously told me a couple years later, he was yelling at Tyler Myers, just stay there. We're not coming after you. And it took until the last 10 seconds. Scott Hartnell apparently didn't get the memo and he went after Myers. Myers just passed the puck to Pominville, and they ran the clock out. They lost the series in 7 games. It was a very strange series for Ryan Miller. He had a couple shutouts and a couple terrible games. And the Flyers ended up winning in Game 7, and the Sabres never returned to the playoffs since. And you think of Rachel, you're right. All the things that we have seen in covering this team, all the failed games, all the changes in the front office and the coach, the tank, the Eichel trade. I mean, I think back to, if you say to me, what's one moment of the drought I'll never forget? It's the game against the Phoenix Coyotes in 2015, when the fans at KeyBank Center rooted for the Phoenix Coyotes openly. And it
they
was
rooted
just
for an, Shane Doan. Wow.
It was just an awful, awful circumstance because of the rules. The rules of the time, remember, if you finished last, you ended up getting the number one or number two pick. Mm-hmm. So you were guaranteed There is no guarantee in the lottery anymore. The Buffalo Sabres had a guarantee to finish last. They got McDavid or Eichel. And SportsCenter actually spot shadowed this guy. There was a fan in a Sam Reinhart jersey in the front row right behind the net. And when the Coyotes scored the winning goal in overtime, this Sabres fan in his Reinhart jersey stood up, arm in the air, cheering the goal because the Sabres had lost. So that to me was perhaps the lowest moment of many lows. The COVID season and 18-game losing streak was awful. But that night I will never forget. And that really, I thought, damaged the franchise for a long time. What this season has done is very similar to what happened in 05-06. It has rejuvenated the franchise. It has brought a new generation of fans back. And hopefully they get a long playoff run to experience what those people did in 05 and 06. And that to me is the reward for some people who are brand new fans and the people who have been here the entirety of the drought, because the moments that we could be seeing that could be coming up will last for a long, long time. You've seen all these 2006 highlights this year. You might see 2026 highlights in 2046, folks.
2040. Right. You know, and I think back to that year, I was covering the Sabres minor league team that year in Portland, the teams with Nathan Gerby, Tyler Ennis, Mike Weber, Jonas Enroth, when they were minor leaguers. And especially in 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, there was a lot of hope for the future of the Sabres, sure, because they had such successful minor league teams. These were guys who were key cogs in helping the Pirates become a competitive AHL team under the direction of Kevin Dineen, who was the head coach. You know, they made AHL conference finals. They lost to Binghamton, which ended up winning the AHL championship in 2011. Robin Lehner was the goalie for them. And you know, the thing I remember about that team was how well they responded to Kevin Dineen's coaching and how he related to people. He was in his first head coaching job. He was learning on the fly how to manage a team, relate to people. And he was still only at the few years of the end of his career. So he had this way and credibility to relate to those guys like Nathan Gerby, Tyler Ennis, and whatnot as well. And seeing those players, we thought, you know, hey, there's going to be some hope for Buffalo here down the road as well. You know, they're cultivating this kind of minor league talent, you know, with a new coach, with guys right out of college, with youngsters. How's this going to bode for Buffalo? I mean, honestly, 15 years ago, we didn't look at it happening that way as well, too. But I also, and I remember watching that Sabres Flyers series. You know, I was in my house, you know, on my couch in Tops of Maine. The one thing I just, I can't forget about that 2011 playoff series was Rod Niedermeyer took a lot of stupid penalties in that series as well, too. And I remember he was kind of brought in to be that veteran presence, but he was kind of at the tail end of his career. And I'm like, it just felt like they were making more mistakes than they were good things at the end of that series. And that's ultimately what cost them in, what, a 7-game series as well.
Yeah, too. Rob Niedermeyer actually scored a goal in game 6 to help the Sabres lead 3-1 after one period. They lost that game in overtime on the Ville Leino goal. And to wrap this up, the one thing you bring up, Tyler Ennis. Tyler Ennis is the answer. He's the answer, Rachel, to the trivia question. The last player to score a game-winning goal for the Buffalo Sabres in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tyler Ennis, a rebound in overtime of a shot by Mike Weber in Game 5 in Philly, gave the Sabres a 3-2 lead in the series. They came home on Easter Sunday. They couldn't wrap it up. And then Game 7 was a wash in Philly. And here we are 15 years later waiting for another chance to cover the Sabres in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's finally going to happen. It looks like so April close. 18th or 19th, it's going to happen.
So close. So close. So, well, shout out to Tyler Ennis. Also, shout out to Kevin Dineen, who's been battling pancreatic cancer. One of the original Hartford Whalers. I really enjoyed my time working with him as well. I hope he enjoys the playoffs and that as a former Buffalo Sabres employee, you know, he gets a chance to watch this as well, too. So, Mike, you're in Ottawa right now. Sabres have Washington on Saturday and the big matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday, then play the Rangers next week. I'll be in New York as well. So we're going to wrap this up here. I know you got to finish up some stuff before the game, but how can readers find you, Mike?
Everybody should be looking at BuffaloNews.com and on Twitter, X as we like to call it now, at By M. Harrington.
You can find me on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, at Rachel M. Lindsay. You can find me on Instagram at RLindsayReporter. And find all your Buffalo Sabres lead into the playoff coverage at BuffaloNews.com.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.